grateful for your prayers this morning. The word of the Lord would have free course among us. He'd be able to get across to us what His interest and His burden for us is. I'd like to consider this morning, by the Lord's help, the thought of a peaceable habitation. I'd like to begin in Isaiah, the 32nd chapter. Isaiah chapter 32. Beginning with the 15th verse. Says, until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest. Then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness quietness, and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation, and in sure dwellings, and in quiet resting places, when it shall hail coming down on the forest, and the city shall be low in a low place. I'm thankful today that the Lord has a sure dwelling place for us. I'm thankful that the Lord has a place that's marked by peace, by security, by freedom that we can enjoy. Jesus said whenever He was here, John the 14th chapter, maybe we'll turn and look at this. John chapter 14 and the 27th verse. As Jesus was here on the earth and soon to return His message unto the disciples in their moment of distress and turmoil and wondering what the future held and wondering what was before them and what things they might would face, Jesus said to them, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I have a peace that I want to leave with you as a gift, not like the kind of peace that the world can offer and that the world looks for and the world strives for, with visions of world peace and being able to maybe broker or come to an agreement of world peace. There's a peace that goes deeper than that. There's a freedom from turmoil and strife that is more than the things that we see around us. Of course, we know that the Jews were looking for a Messiah that would come and that would reign over them and set up His kingdom, and boy, they were ready for it. They don't have a lot of peace right now. The Romans are oppressing us, and the things that they're bringing upon us in our lives, we're ready for some deliverance here. But the peace that the Lord came to give them was so much greater than that, was so much greater than simply the ability to overthrow whoever is the problem of the moment. Whatever's causing the pain or the suffering or the angst of spirit, that the enemy, the Lord removes that from before us. But He says, I come to give you a peace, to leave with you a peace, that in spite of the things that you encounter around about you, whoever the prevailing party or ruler is, or whatever the circumstance about you may be, that you can still have an abiding peace and security and tranquility within your spirit. And I'm thankful for that. We live in a world that is hardly marked by peace. We live in a world where there's so much turmoil and strife about us. Isaiah, we read in the 57th chapter, Isaiah 57 and verse 19 says, I create the fruit of the lips, peace, peace to him that is far off, and to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. But the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. So it is that our world is in so much turmoil and strife. So much trouble, as Scripture says here, it's like the waves. If you've been at the beach and you see the action of the waves that are bringing up the sand, it says here, the casting up mire and dirt. It's restless. It's constantly churning up something. You know, it's the way that it is in our world today. In our society today, we've got party pitted against party, race against race, class against class of individuals who are in strife and in turmoil. There's always something. What would the news media, how would they thrive without some kind of turmoil? To be able to either tell about or perhaps to agitate. To be able to have something to agitate and stir. You know, the enemy is, it's what the enemy's all about. The enemy's all about stirring up some kind of trouble and turmoil and agitation. The Scripture says that the Lord hates those that sow discord among brethren. Well, you know who's the chief of that. We know where that emanates from. It just as the Scripture says that the enemy is a liar and the father of it. He's the origin of it. He's the source of it. The wellspring of all the turmoil and the strife and the lies and all those sorts of things. A world that is marked by turmoil and conflict and strife. And yet we read there in Isaiah, the 32nd chapter, of a different picture. Of a different kind of habitation that we can dwell in today. That's free from the turmoil and the strife of this world. There is a work that the Lord wants to do within our hearts. The work of righteousness, He said, shall be peace. And there's an effect of righteousness that's quietness and assurance. I'm thankful today for a peaceable habitation. That the Lord wants for us to be able to have a place in our relationship with Him that is the secret of His pavilion. It's unknown from the strife of man. Though all those things can be raging around us, there is a place that we can come to in the Lord where we can rest. The Scriptures talk about in the book of Hebrews about there remaining a rest for us. A place of rest that we can go where we can cease from our own worries and our own turmoil of mind and of spirit. And I can come into a place of quietness before the Lord. We read in Psalms, the 107th chapter. Psalms 107 and 24 says, "These see the works of the Lord, and His wonders in the deep. For He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro, and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them forth out of their distress. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So He bringeth them unto their desired haven." Thank the Lord today that He has a desired haven for every one of us. A peaceable habitation, a place of quietness and of confidence and of assurance that I can dwell in, free from the turmoil and the strife of this world. You know, the enemy is going to try to disturb our peace. The enemy is going to try to get us pulled into some of the turmoil and strife of this world. Folks, we are not of this world. We're in this world. We're not a part of the system of this world. We're not a part of the turmoil and strife of this world. The Lord has called us from that into a peaceable habitation. There should be in our world today a place where this world of turmoil and strife and conflict can lift up their eyes and see there's a peaceable place. There's a people that dwell in peace and in harmony one with another. Thank God for Mount Zion. Folks, it is to be a peaceable habitation. And it can only be such as each of us individually are in that place of peace and assurance with the Lord. The enemy, the great agitator, would like to be able to come in and sow discord and strife and disharmony within our hearts, within our homes, within our congregations, anywhere that the enemy can, to try to put a little bit of a wedge between people, to try to disturb our peace. Do you know what season we're headed into? Well, not just summer. We're headed into election season. We're headed into a time where likely you'll be bombarded with flyers in the mail, ads on the radio. You know, if we're not careful, we can get pulled into a place that I begin to lose my peace, that my mind is agitated and stirred and distressed, and the enemy would like to try to sow those ripples of discord even among his people. Folks, we have a cause today. The song says we've got a cause we're fighting for. I hope that you have a cause this morning. You know, there are causes that this world has that are a dime a dozen. You can sign up for whatever cause that might agitate and get you riled up and stirred up. And I say, that's what I'm going to fight for. That's why I'm going to stand on this thing. And I'm going to let everybody know this is what I'm about. And whether it's plastic straws that you're drinking from or whatever the cause might be, this is the thing that I'm going to stand up and fight for. And oh, every time I see someone, and bear with me just for using the example, drinking out of a plastic straw. Oh, how could they? Do you know what you're doing to the sea turtles? Now, I don't want to make light of our responsibility as stewards of the environment and of using wisdom and those sorts of things. But folks, there's a higher cause. There's a higher cause for us to stake ourselves upon. And there's something greater. A higher calling that we're called unto. I'm thankful today for a cause that unites those of every nation, of every creed, of every race, of every background, of every personality, of all the differences that there are between people. There is a cause above all causes that should unite and draw us together. Where the enemy would try to bring a little faction here and a little discord over there, the Lord is calling us into a Mount Zion that is a peaceable habitation, free from the strife of this world. Not as the sea, the waves of it that are constantly tossing and agitating and disturbing our spirit. I'll say for myself, perhaps you're in a place where you've committed better than I have in the past. I've allowed my peace to be disturbed in the past, during elections, political cycles. And I'll tell you, I have very strong political preferences. I have very strong convictions and thoughts and preferences and those sorts of things. You know, I find myself in a place where the enemy would like to get me drawn in to such an extent that my peace is disturbed, that I can think of nothing else. And I mentioned the media and those sources that we might be able to find on the radio or in print or whatever it is, they make their living by agitating, by stirring up, by polarizing the audience. While I'm not, and I don't want you to misunderstand and go away saying that we should stick our heads in the sand and pay no attention to what's happening in our world about us, I don't believe that's what we're called to. But we have a higher cause that trumps all of that. We have a higher cause that's above all those other causes of this world. And the effect of righteousness will bring a peace, contentment. Let's look at the book of James. James chapter 3. Beginning at the first verse. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. I'm sure that you have seen in the past, and I'd say Brother DeMar here, being from California, has witnessed it up closer and more personally than we have, the wildfires that we'll read about at times that break loose, and they fight it for days or even weeks on end, trying to contain it, trying to limit the damage that it's able to do, and the winds as they pick up, and the dry underbrush and all those sorts of things. It provides kindling for the fire. And they have a hard task to try to put that out. You know, it's the way that our world is. The world is like a dry kindling ready for the burning. The winds are blowing and all the conditions are right for a little spark to cause such a small member, such a small thing, and yet if the environment and the conditions are right, it can cause such an eruption of something that's hard to contain. And you can be sure that the enemy is right there, thinking of strife in our world. The enemy is right there to fan the flames of strife. How great a matter. Just a little small fire. I would today that we be challenged as the people of God, that we're called to a higher calling. We're not called to fight fire with fire in the manner of this world. We're called to a higher cause than that. There are two words that I'd like for us to consider for a moment. One is a catalyst. You know what a catalyst is? A catalyst is something that speeds up a chemical or a natural process. If this element is present, it'll cause that process to happen a lot quicker or under different, easier conditions. I'll give you an example. We have this problem more so up north than you do here. Whenever our winters are harsh and we've got snow and ice on the road and they spread salt on the roads, we've got this problem that if you go truck shopping and you look at a truck that's over about 4 years old, you better look real close. Because you can expect to see some body cancer. You can expect to see some spots of rust that are beginning to develop. You know why that's more so in the north than the south? Because there's a catalyst. Because there's something that speeds up that process, and that's salt. Whenever you put salt on a metal, you get some water with it, it speeds up that process of oxidation, where it begins to rust more quickly. So you might also think of a fuel or something that you might introduce an element to a fire that causes it to begin to explode out of proportion. And so, because of those processes, that chemical process, they paint a car. That's called an inhibitor. A catalyst and an inhibitor. An inhibitor is that which is supposed to slow down that process. That puts a barrier there. That prevents that natural process from taking place. I want us to consider today, are we a catalyst or an inhibitor? Whenever those sparks come, whenever there's something, whether it be in our community or on the workplace or in our homes or in our congregation, am I a catalyst? Or am I an inhibitor where whenever the enemy is trying to introduce and agitate, do I make the situation worse? Or do I act as an inhibitor to slow that process? Proverbs, the 26th chapter. Proverbs 26 and 20 says, "Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife." You know, the Lord doesn't want us to be as catalyst. Whenever there's a little strife, we'll say in the workplace, and someone that's agitated about situation in the workplace and the boss and working conditions and this problem over here and that problem over there. You know, the Lord has called us to be inhibitors, not catalysts. Not whenever I'm introduced to the conversation, all of a sudden the flames spring up even higher. But the Lord has called us to be, instead, blessed are the peacemakers. Lord, help me to be an inhibitor. Lord, help me whenever these processes are around. All the fires of strife are raging in our world today. Lord, help me to know how to be an inhibitor. Lord, help me that the words that I speak would minister grace to the hearer. That it would, you know, grace, what a great inhibitor. What a great inhibitor, the grace of God. Apply to our hearts. Lord, help me that my words could minister grace to a situation. Could minister grace to a fire of strife that's beginning to burn. You know, those fires, many times they start out small. A small ember. And yet have gone unchecked because of the condition of things around. We're to be a green tree and not a dry one, ready to ignite in just a moment. The Lord wants us to be bearing fruit, to be tapped into a water source, that whenever those sparks would fly up in my leaves, so to speak, that it doesn't combust quickly, that it doesn't result in me getting all flamed up and agitated. The grace of God as an inhibitor in our lives and in our hearts, in our homes, and in our congregations. The Scripture says of the relationship of husband and wife that they are to be heirs together of the grace of life. They're to be heirs together that your prayers be not hindered. Folks, the same enemy that's stirring up strife and kindling fires and fanning the flames of strife in this world, think not that he's going to check it at the door. Don't think he's not going to try to find inroads into our homes, our assembly. Folks, the enemy is all about contention. He's all about strife. The Scripture that, I don't know if we even read down that far in James, it says it's set on fire. Where? From where? It's set on fire from hell. It's where the fire ever burns. And the enemy is trying to take little flames and sparks and embers and plant them wherever he may to try to stir up strife and agitation. Lord, help us that we would be inhibitors. I'd like to look at the book of Judges. Judges, the 8th chapter. Judges 8 and 1 says, "And the men of Ephraim said unto him, Why hast thou served us thus, that thou callest us not when thou wentest to fight with the Midianites? And they did chide with him sharply." You ever have someone chide with you sharply? what does it make you want to do? What's the natural reaction of the flesh? You want to fight that way? I'm ready. The natural uprising of carnality and of the flesh is, if you're going to combat and bring words to that, I'm going to come back with equal show of force. I'm not going to take that sitting down. And we see it in our political theater today and in our world all around us. So, we find here the men of Ephraim were in a place that they had not been called into the battle. That they had not been summoned, and they would, apparently, they felt offended. They felt slighted by that. Now, why didn't you call me? You know, the enemy is, he loves to whisper in people's ears. You know why they did that? You know why they didn't call and invite you? You know why you weren't made part of this? You know why they looked at you that way, don't you? You know the enemy, he's the author of it. It comes from hell, and he tries to set on fire our world, our habitation. And so he was in a place here with the men of Ephraim chiding him sharply. And he said unto them, what have I done now in comparison of you? Is not the gleaning of the grapes of Ephraim better than the vintage of Abiezer? Now my understanding of this was that Gideon was of the tribe of Manasseh, which was considered in importance or rank of the children of Israel an inferior to that of Ephraim. The men of Ephraim felt like they were entitled to something here. What do you mean you're going and fighting a battle and you haven't called us first? Remember your place here. Remember that our father was more important in the blessing hand down than you were. And so as they looked on this situation and realized that they weren't included and they weren't made part, the fire began to burn. The fire began to rage within their own spirit. You read of another instance of the men of Ephraim. They seem to have been a rather easily agitated group of people that they actually threatened, I believe it's in verse chapter 12, that they actually threatened 12 and 1. The men of Ephraim gathered themselves together and went northward and said to Jephthah, wherefore passest thou over to fight against the children of Ammon? And didst not call us to go with thee? We will burn thine house upon thee with fire. Wait a minute. That escalated quickly. All we did is we exempted you from the battle. We didn't call you. We forgot, whatever the situation was, that you weren't part of the battle. They're fighting, and so when the victory is won, perhaps you don't feel a part of the spoils, and whatever that it may be. You know what the Scripture says of contention? Only by what? Only by pride cometh contention. You want to talk about a catalyst? Allow a little pride to work in your heart, and you'll find a catalyst. Whereas humility is such an inhibitor to a situation like this. So they, in their pride of their expectation of how they should be viewed and of their place of importance, you know, whenever we get into a place like that, that I feel entitled, people should be calling to invite me. People should be shaking my hand. They ought to be this and they ought to be, I'm entitled. Look how long I've been around. Look how... Be careful. The enemy will hijack that in a moment. We will burn thine house upon thee with fire. Jephthah said unto them, I and my people were at great strife with the children of Ammon. And when I called you, you delivered me not out of their hands. When I saw that you delivered me not, I put my life in my hands and passed over against the children of Ammon. The Lord delivered them into my hand. Wherefore then are you come up unto me this day to fight against me? Ephraim, calm down a minute. You're ready to burn my house upon me. That fire has started to rage. It's found a catalyst. It's ready to consume everything in its path. But I want us to notice back in the 8th chapter, the response of Gideon. He said unto them, keeping in mind what our natural response is when someone comes with a blustery, threatening show, he responded instead saying, "What have I done in comparison unto you?" Now, in essence, what he's doing here, you might almost think it's bordering on flattery. But he's saying, "Ephraim, I recognize how you've been mighty in battle. I recognize what we're able to do. It's just like the vintage. After you've already done a full day's work, we're just able to do what little remains." But you know, there was wisdom. Scripture says that wisdom is profitable to direct. But where the iron is dull, you have to put forth more force and more effort. But wisdom is profitable to be able to direct. Lord, give us wisdom. Lord, help us to be able to know. Give us the words to speak. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. Lord, give me those words. Lord, help me that it be in my heart. Because sometimes you're blindsided by the people like Ephraim. Where did this come from? What are you so upset about? You want to make someone more upset? What's your problem? Lord, help me to have something within that's an inhibitor, that I can be able to respond with grace and with wisdom. Whenever there's agitation and something, that I can instead respond with something that, instead of inflaming, rather defuses the situation. And so it's what Gideon did. Gideon, in his response to them, responded in wisdom, humility, when probably it's not the way that he would have felt like responding. But we look at the result of it, and their anger was abated. What does the Scripture say of a soft answer? A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words are a catalyst. Grievous words stir up anger. It agitates and makes the situation worse. So we spoke a bit and read about the tongue. How great a matter a little fire kindleth. You know, times are a-changing. I read that of the millennial and Gen Z generations, as they call them, that among English-speaking nations, over 70% of their communication one with another is done with the fingers. It's done over messaging and social media. Folks, I have some part in social media. My intent here is not to try to promote a prohibition or a ban of it. But Lord, give us understanding of how the enemy wants to try to work. Of how the enemy wants to try to agitate and inflame in a time where perhaps road rage. The way people will act to one another, cutting off and giving symbols to each other, rude gestures and yelling and hollering, where I dare say probably, well, more often meeting one another in the store, they wouldn't be acting quite that way. But there's something about being in a vehicle and being a little bit distanced that I feel emboldened here. How dare you do something? It seems a little more impersonal than someone that I see face to face. Social media can be the same way. It's something that the enemy has made as a catalyst, as a way to be able to fan the flames of strife of our world today. Where it is so easy, instead of seeing somebody that I'm having a dialogue with, and I feel maybe a little bit of connection with, and I really don't want to make you angry, I'm a little more inclined to understand where you're coming from. So easy it is to click send. There. You sure needed to see this. I got an answer for that. And in seconds, it's off. Folks, it's the same principle as the tongue. How great a fire a little matter, or great a matter a little fire kindleth. How big of a problem. Folks, knowing that the enemy is intent on stirring the flames of strife among God's people even. Let us not be ignorant of his devices. Let us not be ignorant of the way the enemy is trying to work. That post that I put out there that I think, well, they need to hear this. Well, people need to see this. Well, it's true. So I don't have to apologize for it. I don't have to feel sorry about it because this is truth and they need to hear it. Doesn't mean it's wisdom. It doesn't mean it's what I need to be telling the person or that it's seasoned with grace. Lord, help us that our words, that our behavior and conduct on social media be seasoned with grace. That it would be such that it edifies grace to the hearer or the reader. That it's an inhibitor of strife and not a promoter of it. Folks, it is not worth the causes of this world. The causes that we can align ourselves in this world are not worth if I should go to Monarch and a brother sees me across the way and the first thing that comes up in their mind is an inflammatory thing that they saw on social media that I put out there. An inflammatory spur of the moment response that I sent out and my, maybe what I thought, righteous indignation or needing to get the truth out there about a situation, that's the first thing they notice whenever they see me. The enemy that would love to try to work with strife. Folks, there's a cause that's greater and higher. And that cause is the kingdom of heaven. The scripture says, seek the peace of Jerusalem. Seek the peace and prosperity of Jerusalem. Those who would try to seek the peace of the land of Israel and Jerusalem, I'm all for peace where we can find peace. But that's not really the import of what the Lord's wanting us to seek today. Seek the peace of a peaceable habitation, of a quiet dwelling and resting place, wherein our families and our congregations and the body of the saints can dwell in unity and in harmony and in love, with the grace of God ministering among us. There is a desired haven that we can dwell in, one that is foreign to the world, one that the world has not found. But there's a place in the Lord, a desired haven, one scripture says, I believe in Psalms 31, that is free from the strife of tongues. May the Lord help each one of us that we dwell in that place, in quiet resting places. Lord, help me by my behavior, by my conduct, Lord, by my spirit. Lord, help me to be an inhibitor of strife, a peacemaker. Lord, help me to be that element that any family, any congregation, any workplace would say, yes, come be part of us. We need your presence. We need you to come be part. That I would not be a source, even unwitting, unknowingly, of promoting the agenda of the enemy to sow discord and strife and turmoil in an already troubled and tumultuous world. The Lord has something greater for us. The Lord has a place that I can find a haven in Him, that I can find a peace in my own spirit. And folks, that's where it has to start. It's not about just trying to stuff in and suppress the outward expression of how I... There's a part of that. But Lord, help my spirit to be in peace and in quietness. Lord, help me that I would be in that place that when I'm jostled, the thing that spills over is the effect of righteousness. It's peace. Peaceableness. Oh, there's a song that says, Lord, with thy gentleness, I would be great. May the Lord help us that we be a gentle and a peaceable people. You pray for me. Amen.